Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Medical Confessions. I'm Scott.
I'm Jen.
I'm April.
Today we're going to be talking about the brain in your butt, the second brain that all of us seem to have.
And I want credit again for this episode. I scroll through like news feeds, like people do Facebook. Like that's my fun thing to do.
I want validation.
Well, because I'm like Scott's muse, right? Like I come up with good ideas. Just something silly like that.
I'm going to refer to you as my muse from here on
but
out.
We used to do that when we had, you had projects and I would come up with ideas for you. And so I found this one and I just thought the title caught me as something April would be interested in. And then I was like, there's got to be something here. So here we are.
All I think of when I hear brain in your butt, I think of that song that what in the butt. Oh.
I've heard that. That is such a funny video.
We're dating ourselves.
I love that thing.
Yeah.
What?
We could use background music. Yeah. So what's the short answer? What is the brain in the butt?
Short answer is it's called your enteric nervous system, and it is a nervous system that can act independently of your central nervous system, and it is a grouping of neurons that reside in your GI tract from your esophagus to your colon. They can be stimulated by central nervous system, but can act independently, so that is technically a second brain. Or in this case, your first brain, because it actually did...
Your primary brain.
Primary brain.
So is it really that medically exciting, or is this kind of like the heart thing? You know, like everyone's like, they give the heart so much credit. Like, oh, strongest muscle in your body, yay, you know? But really, it's just doing its thing. Like, it's not really that big of a deal, right? So is this enteric nervous system your number one brain? Is it really that exciting, this discovery?
The discovery about it, it's been known for a long time that we've had this enteric nervous system, but it was just recently, May 29th of this year, as a matter of fact, the Journal of Neuroscience.
Yeah.
Dr. Nick Spencer and his colleagues in Australia were actually able to stimulate this nervous system and basically saying these are the neurons involved. So now that they've identified them, and are able to specifically say these what they are and how they work, now that research can then go further and solve a lot of GI problems that people tend to have. Now, your GI system is kind of, I mean, this is only affecting peristalsis, that rhythmic moving of the muscles in your GI tract. GI problems most of them are related to your gut bacteria, not necessarily the peristalsis itself. But if you can affect peristalsis, you can affect a lot of things in your GI tract. So that's why it's exciting.
Hmm.
And besides that, it has a good tagline.
Well, and that's actually what I think was so funny, is because then when that article popped up, I did a little quick research, and there was like all of these different, you know, news agencies that were delivering this. Like, it's this really exciting brain in the butt, you know, and it was the same article, basically. But, you know, they made it like it was really exciting.
Well, it was exciting. It is exciting.
Yeah. Well, and so my question about it then is, you talked about it maybe solving a lot of GI problems. And it seems like that's become a more common thing in our culture with people with gluten intolerance and IBS and, you know, all the different ones. And so is this potentially a way to fix it? Or at least an indicator as to why people have it? And so what I had in my head is, are people with IBS, do they have a dumb brain butt? You know, like, because I know somebody...
Your butt brain is really dumb.
I know somebody in my life who's very, like, I'll say IBS, you know, like varies trigger foods and things and has all kinds of GI issues. And we talk about peristalsis very regularly because he actually says he can feel like the movement, you know, in his stomach drama, right?
But you've got a Down syndrome brain butt.
Well, you know, and it's kind of like, I'm just like, you're weaker than I am. Like, I clearly have a very smart brain butt. Plus, girls don't poop, so there's that.
Should we call it brain butt or butt brain? I think butt brain sounds better.
Butt brain sounds better. Butt brain. Like that, yeah. So explain, like, how is this exciting for us?
Well, and again, it's going to depend on the specifics. So you mentioned like gluten intolerance, IBS. A lot of these problems are gut bacteria related.
Right.
And so the resulting peristalsis increase you get from that is just a way for your body to kind of get rid of or is activated by how your body's responding to the gut bacteria. So the problem isn't necessarily the peristalsis itself. The peristalsis is a symptom of the problem. So... again, but if you can affect peristalsis, you can affect.
I heard it. We both were like, oh,
unintended. One T, not two.
That was a nerdy response he just gave us.
I liked it. It made it even better.
Go ahead and show your nerdy side. Talk nerdy to me.
Fun fact, there's approximately 100 trillion microscopic organisms that reside in your colon.
That is impressive. There is a lot of bacteria there.
Yeah, I couldn't find a whole lot of really fun facts. They're boring. Okay.
Guess people taking the colon too seriously, or
way too serious,
which is weird because you've got things like autobrewery syndrome, you know, where you can get yourself drunk by eating bread. You've got the poop transplants. It seems like there's a lot of good information about butt stuff out there.
You would think,
yeah. People don't want to mess with the colon.
I guess just funny stories more than funny facts.
Right. Well, I guess probably some that aren't appropriate for our show is the problem.
And actually, interesting, April and I were just involved in the slaughtering of some pigs, and it was, you know, necessity.
How can it be necessary to slaughter a pig?
Well, if you go to a farm, bacon.
Necessary.
Like, it was a legit, event, and... But part of it
you
was...
You had me a bacon. That's all I had to say.
But part of it was I've been part of wild game, and April had never spent a lot of time around the innards of an animal, and you were, truly fascinated by the GI tract. And and I've seen it before and not been impressed, but because we had the time and interest, it was actually quite intricate. It was amazing to me that looking at just... the amount, the quantity, and that food trade—it was it shocks me that we don't have more problems, that people don't have more kinked bowels and blockages and all that kind of stuff.
Well, and it—that's a problem, right? Bowel obstructions,
right?
All of that things, and it is so. At the end of the day, your GI tract is actually outside of your body. You can think of it as outside your body, from your mouth to your anus, only contained within your body, because everything you take in has to pass through. That using passive diffusion, it has to pass through that system. So, goes into the mouth, into your esophagus, into your stomach, then into your small intestine, large intestine, and all that isn't actually, if you start talking like the knee bones connected to the thigh bone,
right.
Or whatever, it's, you have to cross that membrane to get into your bloodstream, and it has to break those foods down with its cascade of chemistry. So you can think of it as outside your body, and then how it gets from your mouth to your anus.
We're taking things so literally. We're both like,
I don't get it.
I kind of do, kind of water park theory. You're part of the water park, but when you enter the tube, it passes around all the cool stuff, and then you get spit out in the pool, and you actually miss everything around it. Is that what you're saying?
That pretty much,
okay.
Exactly.
Get
right?
it? Water park
Good
theory.
Job.
Hey, I'm
nice.
Reading April. We're both just like, what? Outside of your, an out-of-body experience? I don't get it.
Because you can't, it's, if you, just like you looked at your whole GI tract, you could cut it off at the esophagus, cut it off at the anus, and take it out. It's its own separate system all the way through.
Like, it never allows the icky to touch your body.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like a full body condom, if you will, for your GI tract, and we
can take anywhere from 12 to 48 hours for the food that you've eaten to get through the colon.
I think sooner for me, because I eat corn, and then,
that's what
I think. It's not too long before I'm looking at the corn going, oh,
that's funny.
Awesome.
I just had this conversation with a couple of young children, not my own, but somebody else's, and we were talking, we passed cows, and I was like, hey, did you guys know that cows have four stomachs? And then we talked about, and that's probably not even a true fact, but I threw that out there, and they bought it, and so, and then we were like, oh, I wonder if it takes longer for cows to process food, and one of them was like, well, cows have huge poops. It was kind of a weird, but it's kind of funny because, does it vary from person to person? Does it vary by the food?
Right.
Yeah, there's an
and
average.
And you were saying corn, so I guess that...
Well, you don't digest corn.
Right. No, you said it seems to be quicker than the 12 to 48 hours.
For me.
For
I'm
you
apparently
to
on the high end of that average.
Yeah, but don't you use the restroom several times a day? Like, we've established that in previous episodes.
I'm a frequent pooper.
So if you're someone who doesn't go often...
Yeah, that's...
Like me, ever.
And here's what I'm wondering.
Never.
So this is more of a logistic problem. We wash our hands when we're done. How come we don't use wet wipes more consistently here in the U.S.? because I wash my hand with water to clean it, but you have dry paper to, I mean, as
somebody
a frequent
else
pooper,
I know
I
has
want
that
some...
same gripe, like they're really bothered by it, and I'll tell you why. Talk to someone who's had their septic system plugged.
Oh, yeah. Don't use the wet wipes if you have
don't
a septic tank. Don't flush them.
I think we answered your own question there, Scott.
Yeah. Yes.
$30,000 later. Yeah.
I wasn't the one flushing them.
Oh. Oh,
teenagers.
That's the reason for the tattoo removal.
That was one too many wipe, Missy. That's it. Oh, that's my deal breaker.
We've digressed again. So back to the GI system.
So the long answer here, right? So it's called your enteric nervous system. It is basically a grouping of millions of neurons that are stimulated much like your central nervous system. They use neural transmitters. So your nervous system really is just reacting to these neural transmitters that get released. So you've got your sympathetic, parasympathetic nervous system, your rest and digest, or your fight or flight nervous system, and things, neural transmitters like serotonin, norepinephrine, acetylcholine, all these things affect that. Well, the same molecules are actually affecting the enteric nervous system, but it's just a grouping of neurons that react to those separate from your central nervous system. Now, like I said before, your CNS can affect it, the main nerve for your parasympathetic, so your rest and digest nervous system, is your vagus nerve. And we can see in the lab that if you stimulate the vagus nerve, you can affect peristalsis. But you can also, one T, not two, you can also cut off the vagus nerve and peristalsis still takes place. Hmm. So this enteric nervous system is completely separate. And how they found out about this was they took a bunch of mice and externally provided small amounts of electric impulses at these neurons, and they were able to see the peristalsis happen in the mice, and they were able to then use some new imaging techniques to actually see the nerves work and which nerves were affecting what. And so that was the big, you know, announcement on May 29th, is now we can actually see the neurons and what they're doing, and that was the advancement. We knew that it could happen, we just didn't actually have the specifics.
Right. Well, and again, I'm more intrigued by the how and not the what happened. Like, how did they get these mice to hold still? Like, so, did they have, like, a little harness or, like, you know how they cattle gates? You know, like, did they...
See, and I'm just sitting here thinking that this is like a Nerf gun, right? They're holding the mouse, and then they take a little impulse and get your neighbor sort of thing. You know?
Oh, yeah, maybe. Or did they sedate them? Did they just, you know, throw those poor mice into a little ketamine function and... Did they react poorly and get
it was excited? Probably way more scientific than the Nerf gun philosophy. I just like the picture of a mouse just, you know, machine gun style.
Oh, dear.
I've digressed.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I know you've never, Jen, doesn't apply to you, but since you don't poop.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure where you were going.
Have you ever tried to not push while you poop? And just let it happen.
Just relax and...
Just relax and let your body do... Because your body does. It just takes over and does it without you making any effort.
Well,
it's extremely hard.
I know they have that squatty potty. Mm-hmm. Like, we have a friend who's, like, really, you know, like, big into it and stuff. And supposedly when you get your body into that proper position... Mm-hmm. But is there a problem with pushing?
Well, no, it's not a problem. I just wanted to see if I could do it.
Did you try?
Oh, yeah.
Did it work?
It's hard to do. Yeah, but your body, just naturally takes over and you feel the... It's like labor pains, almost. Like, you have to breathe through because your natural instinct is just to eliminate.
What did you eat prior to this event? That's what I want to know.
I want you guys to try it. Next time you have to have a bowel movement... Do not, like, make it a conscious effort
but
to not
you,
help or
don't you
assist
have
the
a bowel
process.
Movement because the urge is there? Like, don't you go, I have to use
so
the restroom?
And don't you normally just kind of push it out? Like,
I would assume.
Yeah. Well, try not to. Try
just
to
just let
actively,
the anal sphincter relax on its own.
Like, just do it on its own.
My son, like, takes him, like, 30 minutes. You know, like, I don't, he doesn't take, like, a magazine like grown men do.
Oh, no.
Like, he'll just sit in there and talk and
magazine
stuff.
Magazine, what is this, 1980?
Maybe he practices your method. Maybe he's, like, about letting it happen now. He's seven. I mean, you know.
He starts doing the little meditation.
No, there's times that he's in there, and I, like, will talk through the door, like, hey, bud. He's like, hey, mom. How's it going? Good. And then you can hear him mumbling. And
he doesn't take his phone and, like, scroll through Dump a Day, because that's what I do.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, there's a point where you really have that urge to push and just breathe through it. I always feel unsatisfied. Like, I could have eliminated more if I would have tried.
But it just pushed a little harder.
You trust your body to eliminate what you think it needs.
Honestly, I went in there just with the intent of, I'm going to not push intentionally. See if I can do it.
I don't think I've had time to, like, think about, like,
I'm going to
plan out my bodily function and I'm going to be in control of it. You know?
I do think about the pushing thing, because we've seen people in our profession, they get anal prolapse, right?
Mm. And I've never actually seen it.
You haven't seen it. Well,
either.
And it is a colon prolapse. Basically, they push too hard and their anal sphincter relaxes such that their large intestine kind of protrudes out,
you know? That's gross.
And, you know, quite literally sprinkle a little
shocking.
Sugar on it.
Disgusting.
I have seen actually a fairly large one, and it was, you know, about that long, and she couldn't sit down, right? And she had to go in and...
Like, how long did she wait before she sought treatment?
When the people, they can feel it, right? And so actually, a lot, if it's not very long, you just sprinkle a little sugar on it, actually, and the osmotic pressures will just pull that thing right back in. But if it is too long, you do have to go have it placed back in.
And then I imagine...
It's fairly painful.
Well... I think about, like, rolling an ankle or whatever. Like, once it's happened once, you're probably going to do it again. So are they going
to... You are more prone to getting them once you get them.
So maybe April's onto something. Maybe you should develop some sort of a, like...
A prolapse prevention strategy.
Yeah, like how to relax and let your body eliminate naturally.
I thought it was the sensation of, like... Not, it wasn't painful, but labor, when it's not time to push, you have to breathe through it. Like, that's the technique I use, because it was so,
like, you probably are onto something. There's probably a group of people that could benefit from you teaching them how to not push.
You should come up with this technique. We'll call it the PPT, the Prevention Prolapse Technique. By April.
You heard it here first.
We'll put it out there. PPT.
Yes.
There's probably no money involved, but April is going to coach it.
My face branded on something like that.
I think you should go down to the community center and get yourself put on, like, the calendar. See how many classmates you get. See how many students get involved.
It's like being...
The senior citizens.
Tantric bowel elimination.
Now set the mood. Light a few candles. Scented preferred.
It's like those STD pamphlets. Like, who's the guy on that picture? April is going to be the face of PPT.
Giant smiley face.
You know, I love that.
I want to see a relaxation face, though. Not a smiley one.
I'd like to see the PowerPoint.
And what sort of sunshine are you going to have in the background? You know, because it's your face being very relaxed, and then you've got to have something like what? I don't know, like a snake or something in the background? I mean, something for a prolapsed, you know.
I don't know.
Prevention.
Mop right. Something up tomorrow.
This has nothing to do with the brain in your butt.
So, you keep referencing that this was our first brain.
This was our first brain, so evolutionarily speaking, our bodies use natural selection, not our consciousness or our minds. We don't want to get those literalists out there, religious folks, too concerned. So we're not talking about consciousness, but just our bodies, natural selection, formed these particular grouping of neurons before our central nervous system. So in the history of us, the brain in our butt, or our butt brain, was the first brain, and our second one is the central nervous system, which makes sense because you do have to have an elimination of waste before you can have other things working. So
That makes sense.
Natural selection seems to be smarter than us.
So do you see this going anywhere anymore? I mean, is this going to be something that's referenced, you know, to utilize, like you were talking about with GI issues and stuff like that?
Well, and I think now that they've mapped these neurons, we can actually now start doing some studies, because we can, okay, we're going to use this imaging technique to study these neurons, and now we can start adjusting them however we're going to adjust right. them to affect other things. And so the research is now just starting. It's kind of like when we mapped the human genome, and now we have gene therapy for a ton of things, but you had to map the genome first. Same thing here. Had to map the neurons first. Now we can do some more robust studies on it. Mm. So exciting. It can be excited. Our butt brain is going to get smarter.
It's funny because we have a coworker who I think has a bad GI system but is very private about it. And so we'll go to the restroom and then, you know, like gets embarrassed when other people go in right after. But he would never like try to draw attention to it. Mm. But he's pretty intelligent and kind of a quiet person. And so now I want to be like, it's a shame that your butt brain's so dumb. I just throw that out there. Kind of cruel.
Awesome. Now I'm wondering who it is.
That's all I'm thinking about.
And I'm not going to tell you. You can figure it out yourself.
Now I'm going to be on the lookout. I'm going to, you know, just be scoping people out when they're coming out of the bathroom.
Yeah, and it's not an obvious one. It's not one that we're all aware of.
Interesting. Yeah.
Well, if he tries to keep it quiet.
Mm-hmm. Now we know.
That's right. Well, good.
Yeah.
So now we know what the butt brain phenomenon is.
Yes.
Well, if you like what you saw, click on our subscribe button or recommended video. And again, everything in moderation.